station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to Question Reality.
Question Reality.
With Priscilla Leona.
Priscilla Leona.
Only on LA Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome to Question Reality. I'm your host, Priscilla Leona, and we are coming to you live from Studio City, California. And you can catch our show every Sunday from 5 p.m. to 5:50 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And this is, if this is your first time tuning in, our show is about informative entertainment, and it's done in a fun, upbeat, highly energetic style because I'm highly energized every day. I'm not bipolar. This is just how I am. I'm from the East Coast. We're all like this. And we're going to provide you with tips. This show provides you with tips, advice, resource information, basically everything you need to pursue a career in show business. We have guests that work in various professions of the entertainment industry. So that basically means that we will definitely have somebody from a career that you're interested in. So you just have to listen to every single show, and hopefully that is a career that you're interested in. You'll get lots of information. And if you want to know who's going to be on the show in the future, you can visit the website directly, the Question Reality website, and that address is questionreality.us, not .com, questionreality.us for United States of America. And if you want to check out any of our past guests, read their bios, and listen or download any of the past shows, you can do that on our archive page, and that's on the LA Talk Radio website. So if you're listening to us now, you look up at the top and you'll see something that says Schedule 1. You click on the Schedule 1 link at the top of the LA Talk Radio website, look for our show, Question Reality, in the time slot of Sunday, 5 o'clock, and you just click on the link. You can either click play and it starts playing immediately, or you can click right-click it. You can just click it, and you click download, and you can download it right to your computer, because I know you want to listen to my voice all the time, and you can have me every day of the week if you download me. Okay, so basically it'll take you directly to the archive page. You can peruse at your own leisure. We have a lot of fantastic previous guests, casting directors, producers, writers, actors, celebrities, you name it, we've got it. Just scroll down and take a look. You can also check us out on iTunes under the podcast section. We have our shows on iTunes. And we would love, 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 love for you to call in. Since this is a live show, we want you to call in and ask questions and provide comments on the guest. So we want you to call in and ask lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of questions. But we ask that you call in between 5:20 and 5:30. That way we can have the guest talk a little bit, and we'll still have time to answer your questions. And when you call in, we're going to take your calls directly. You don't go through a screening process. You call, you talk to us live, baby. There's just no Frasier activity thing going on here. And the call-in number is right in front of you. If you're listening to us live now, you'll see it. But just in case you can't, it's area code 323-203-0815. So, woo! We got that out of the way. Hey, you know what? I get emails from our fans all over the world. I have never been more popular in my life. I don't know what's going on. I don't know. I've been trying to win an Emmy for Best Actress like since the beginning of time. No, what happens? I get a radio show and now I'm more popular than ever. Our show is loved by so many people, and I feel so, so fortunate we're able to help people. And two fans who absolutely love our show, I want to do a little shout out for them. They're both in Dallas, Texas, and one of them, his name is Alan Bryant, and the other one is Steve Ivey. And these are two little friends who love the show. They listen, and I want to thank you so, so much for listening. And you know how I love my Texas boys, because everything's bigger in Texas. That's what I hear. I'm going to have to go visit Texas to find out one day. You know, keep Albert at home. I'm going to go down to Texas and Dallas and check it out. Shh, you didn't hear that from me. But anyway, Alan Bryant and Steve Ivey, thank you guys so much for listening. Feel free to call in. We got a great guest for you today. Talking about guests, our guest is Gwen Cannon. She is the author of 4 books. She's a writer and an authoress. Every one of the books is... the 4 books. One of them is Everything That Looks Good Ain't Good For You, followed by Stuck in the Dark. Another one, Scandalous, and her latest release is Stuck in the Dark 2. Now, I like those titles. They sound really kinky, very dominatrix. I like them. I may adopt those titles and do some role-playing with Albert later on. I have to talk about that with Albert. Currently, they are on sale at Barnes & Noble. At Amazon.com. So you'd go to BarnesandNoble.com, you type in any of these books, Everything That Looks Good Ain't Good For You, Stuck in the Dark, Scandalous, and her latest release, Stuck in the Dark 2, or Amazon.com, and you will be able to purchase her books directly. And Gwen, she's just amazing. She loves to motivate and inspire readers through her books. And of course, you know, we all inspire and motivate people in our own way. She happens to do it through her books. And growing up in the ghetto, these are her words. Growing up in the ghetto, she says, I didn't want to become a product of my environment. I continued my education and obtained my bachelor's degree and my MBA from Cornerstone University. And that is just incredible, amazing. Just, I mean, this is definitely a story that we are going to love to hear. Now, Gwen's new release, Stuck in the Dark 2, is the sequel to Stuck in the Dark. And coming soon, this is very exciting. Because this is a personal friend of mine, Yune, wonderful guy, Burrell Bailey, also a.k.a. is Yune. He's a recording artist from Detroit, R&B artist. And she is going to be working on a book for him called I Won't Complain. And I love that title. Not that I don't complain, because that's my favorite thing to do. One of my favorite things besides Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. But, you know, he's not a complainer. So I guess that's a perfect title for him. Now, you can read more about the release and the book trailers on her website. Her website is GwenCannon.net. That's GwenCannon.net. And you can find out everything, her book signings, how to purchase her books. I imagine that you can purchase them directly on the website. I'm not sure. But you can find out everything you need to know. So without further ado, we are going to hear from the wild, sexy, hot writer, authoress of the book, Stuck in the Dark 2, Gwen! Woo! Are you there? She's in Detroit, so I'm hoping she's there. Are you there?
I'm here, Priscilla. Thanks for nice welcome.
Oh, my pleasure. Well, I hear I love Yune. He's like one of my favorite people in the whole entire world, and he brags on you. He says you are the best thing since Campbell's soup in his eyes. So I think you've got to be pretty awesome, huh?
I think so. I hope so. If my cousin said it.
Well, yeah. So, are you at? You're in Detroit. Are you in Detroit, Michigan, right now, or a suburb of Detroit? Or
yes, I'm in Dearborn, Michigan, a suburb of Detroit, but I'm originally from Detroit.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Motown. All right. Woo. Now, let me ask you a question. Now, when did you know that you wanted to be a writer? Because, you know, as you quoting you, you say, growing up in the ghetto, I didn't want to become a product of my environment. So at what age, tell me a little bit, how did it get started? How did you know that you wanted to be a writer?
Well, I've always been an avid reader of books. Mm-hmm. And my husband, he's a witness to that. All night, I would be up late with the light on reading books all the time. So this, like, 3-4 years ago, I'm laying up in the bed reading a book, and I'm telling him, I said, I could write this. And he was like, well, go ahead and do it. And I'm like, because I could relate to a lot of things that I was reading in the books. And I'm like, I could tell this story, you know, based on what I've experienced and what I witnessed growing up, you know, in the Jeffrey Southam Project. So he was like, go ahead and do it. So him just joking, I was on the computer actually telling the story. This was new to me. I didn't really know how to write, so I was just writing based on a characters, bringing characters to life. And when I finished, I told him, I said, I'm finished with my book. This is like a year later. And he thinking I'm joking. He was like, yeah, right. I said, no, I'm finished with my book. And he said, what's the name of it? I said, Everything That Looks Good Isn't Good For You. And I said, it's based on my upbringing in the Jeffries Housing Project. And I asked him, did he want to read it? It's just like loose leaf paper in a binder. And he like, no, I want to read it when it's actually in a book format. And I guess he thought I was joking because he was like, I want to do the damn thing. And I'm like, that's his favorite. That's his favorite word to me when I say I want to do something. But do the damn thing. Go ahead. Do it.
I love that.
I did the damn thing. Yeah, I did the damn thing. And now book number four is out.
Wow. Now, let me ask you. You say that you this just happened recently. So prior to that, what were you doing your whole entire life? I mean, this is so inspirational. This is so motivational for people who say, oh, you know, a lot of people say, oh, it's too late. I should have started when I was young. I'll never be able to do it. And they find a million and one excuses not to do something. And this is exactly why I brought you on the show, because you are just at the inception of what is going to be a fortuitous career, I assume. And, you know, what? Take us through your trials, through your tribulations, because I know that a lot of things were happening, going on in your life. How did you get from age zero to the point where you wrote the book? I mean, what would you say to people that wanted to start at your age? I mean, tell us about that.
I would say, you know, if that's a dream or your passion, don't let anything deter you from negativity that you get. Because I had people saying, no, yeah, whatever, you know, she's trying to write a book, or, you know, it's not going to do anything. Nobody's going to buy it. But me, that just made me, you know, push even harder to succeed in writing my books. And, you know, and based on where I grew up from, you know, I've seen, you know, people get murdered or killed or shooting up drugs right in front of my face. And it just made me not want to do that, because my mother always instilled in me, be a leader, don't be a follower. So I wasn't curious, you know, oh, I wonder how that'd feel if I try that. You know, I didn't want to do that. You know, I saw the effect that it had on people around me. You know, I had friends that, you know, have died from this. So I didn't want to be a product of that environment. So it just made me a better, stronger person to want to do better. You know, I didn't want to be a product of my environment. So I always pushed to succeed, to do better, you know, and I never let anybody put me down. You know, you could say negative things, but it just made me do, you know, go push me further to do what I want to do in life. And that's why I say you got to take control of your life. Don't let the people in your life take control of you.
Now, how do you do that? Because, I mean, you obviously are a very strong, strong woman, very determined, goal-oriented, and ambitious. And, you know, but what about people who may not have those characteristics but still want to or are at a point where they may be in the Jefferson Projects or wherever they are, and they have been beaten down so bad and they don't have your strength? Are there any steps that you can maybe suggest, like little baby steps that they can do? Because obviously financially, you know, becoming a writer is not for everyone, in that it is kind of expensive. So, you know, if they want to self-publish, how are they going to do this? Say they are down in the dumps, you know, what are they going to do? What baby steps can they do to get up that ladder?
I would say, that person that you can't have that mindset like, you know, I'm down in the dumps, I can't do it. You got to take control of what you want to do. You know, if you have that dream and that passion, no matter who's trying to pull you down, and people, you're going to go find people in your life as you're crawling up that wall, someone's always trying to pull you back down. You got to have that strength and determination, and with prayer, you know, pray to God, you know, pray, you know, and you can do it. You know, it's going to be hard, you know, because it's, You know, it was hard for me, but, you know, I had my rock, my Goliath, sitting right there with me, my husband, and he pushes me forward. You know, he makes me feel determined that, you know, I can do this no matter what nobody says. And I have that mentality. I don't care what you say about me, you know, but you're not going to tear my self-esteem down. You know, and you have to be strong. And I know it's people out there that, you know, are struggling, you know, saying they can't do it, but you just got to be strong and just pray. You can do it, you know, and get around, don't get them negative people out your life. You know, don't, you know, stay around negative people. You know, put yourself in the presence of positive people, you know, because you need that positive energy to push you forward.
Now, prior to you deciding, you know, having this epiphany that you wanted to become a writer, what is your background?
My background, I have a bachelor's degree in management and an MBA in business administration.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I'm a release analyst for an automotive industry.
Okay. So you finished high school. You said, I am going on to college. Now, was for people out there who may not, I don't know what your financial background is, but, you know, if your parents were able to afford to put you through school. But, you know, what if it's a situation where they, you know, if they have to drop out of school, if they are in the, you know, Jefferson Projects or whatever projects or a poor income family and they can't afford to go to school, do you still think that they can achieve their dream of becoming a writer?
Yes, because I was actually born and raised there. My mother lived there for 54 years, and
mm-hmm.
she couldn't afford to send us through college. We applied, you know, you can apply for different loans. They have grants for low-income families, which is what I applied for, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, you have different educational loans that you can apply for. After the end result, you're probably going to have a balance that you got to pay back, but it's worth it to me, you know,
correct.
To get that degree behind you.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
that's what I had to do. I didn't come from, you know, a well, you know, established family or anything. We had to struggle, you know, where we were at.
Right.
And it is a struggle, you know, in that environment because you have your peers that are there that's going to try and tear you down anyway.
Right.
You know, and I faced that daily. You know, I was in fights, you know, girls, you know, wanting to fight me all the time. And that's the environment that I grew up in, and it just made me a stronger person.
Yeah.
Because you know, they're going to try and, you know, tear your self-esteem down and everything.
I mean, you didn't even have to just deal with the, you know, the little Mean Girls type movie, you know, the movie Mean Girls where they just, you know, say something behind your back or give you a look. You were having your hair ripped out of your head from every direction, right? I mean, we're talking.
Yes.
They would rip your shit out, honey. Don't even bother putting any extensions in because they will rip your shit out. I am telling you. And we're not talking, oh, I got into a fight with a girl. I mean, you're talking L.A., Beverly Hills, you get into a fight with a girl. It's like, whatever. Okay, whatever. We're talking, Gwen was whipping some ass up and down the street. We're talking fist punching and kicking and scratching and stomping because that's what you had to do. And that's a negative environment. Now, if you can beat yourself up out of that environment, if she can do it, you know, if your ass is sitting here in LA and Beverly Hills, you know that you can do it. So that's my point. You worked yourself up. You got you had people physically and mentally beating you down every day, and you did it. You got out. And that is something that you should be commended for. You are definitely a person that should be admired and respected. You are definitely a little heroine, a little heroine for sure.
Thank you.
That's the female version of
your
daughter.
Me?
I didn't live it. Oh my God, I would never survive the ghetto.
Because you described everything too. I'm like, wow.
I'm a director, so I have the ability. You give me words, and I can visualize exactly what's going on. And I mean, hey, I was watching Good Times. Come on now, I watched Good Times. I know what's going on. I watched The Jeffersons. I know what's happening. I am down with the people now, Gwen.
You brought back memories.
Oh no! Now I'm gonna have you to cause night. Now you're gonna have nightmares tonight about getting your ass beat in the sixth grade. Right? Hey, let me tell you, I might have grown up in Connecticut, but I got into a couple fights back in the day because I was a hot tamale. I was looking like Marilyn Monroe, and those bitches were jealous of my ass. They were. I swear, they got a hold of my... I got in a fight with this one girl. I don't know. She grabbed my hair and ripped me off the nightclub because she said I was eyeing up her boyfriend. I had never been in a fight before. I was like, oh, hell no. You are not going to grab my hair. So you just learned to fight. I just started swinging. I didn't know what I was doing. I was like, oh, hell no. But she just pulled chunks out. I was like bald for a week. But, you know, I got my teeth in her side and ripped it out. So, you know, she had me in a headlock. I didn't know what else to do. I was like, oh, Lord have mercy. Oh, I just bought these earrings. Oh, but see, I know you have definitely come from adversity. So you are someone to definitely be admired for sure. So you said you started reading these books a couple years ago. Now, why don't you tell us what, because you said, I started reading these books and I was like, I know what this is about. I can relate to this stuff. Why don't you tell us some of the books that you were actually reading that, you know, was the catalyst for you making that decision to become a writer?
I have a few authors that are my favorite authors that, you know, I read, like Terry Woods. I was always reading her book, Nikki Turner, Terry McMillan, Sister Soldier, Elin Harris, rest his soul, he's deceased now. And I could relate to everything that was in the book. Or I knew somebody like this, or like, wow, I knew somebody that actually went through this, you know, and it was like, they were telling a story about me or somebody I knew, which it couldn't have been me because they don't know me. But I'm sure everyone can relate to something in a book that they read, you know, and it was learning lessons in those books. And in my books, it's a learning lesson in each book, you know, that someone can relate with. And, you know, there's a lesson to be learned.
Well, and the thing is that when you read books that you can relate to, it's an extra little bit of motivation and inspiration. It gives you that energy that you need to say, hey, I can do that. You know, a lot of people, perfect example, but it's not as easy as people think it is. For example, you don't know how many people I watch shows with, television, movies, whatever it is, go to plays, and they're not in the entertainment business, and they say, oh my God, that is so easy. I could do that. Oh, he couldn't act. Oh, she can't act. Oh, I could do that. It is so not easy. What you really, 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 really got to know the basics, you know, of anything. You got to know your building blocks. You got to have your tools to do anything. Now, my question to you is, since, you know, you have your bachelor's degree, you got your AA, and you did not get these writing building blocks, how did you just get yourself on the computer or start writing? How did you know how to format a book? How did you know about layout and style and all that?
And I really didn't, Priscilla, because, like, I know a lot of people say I'm going to write a book, but I guess everyone can't write a book and, you know, tell a story because, like you said, it got to be the layout, the format. So when I wrote my first one, I kept reading it over and over, going back. I go back and change it, like, so that it'll flow so everyone would – I wanted them to get a vivid picture when they're reading a book that they can actually see the young lady in the club dancing or the guy smacking her upside her head. So, and I would just put myself, so I put myself into the character's shoes. That's what I had to do. And I knew how I wanted the book to start, and I knew how I wanted to end. So So I had to go in and fill in that middle section so that the book just flowed telling a story. So
But it is amazing, Gwen, because I cannot, I mean, I was reading, I haven't finished your whole book because I just got it on Thursday, but I was reading, I started it off, and I swear, I get so many scripts, I don't know why people send me scripts, because I know a lot of people in the entertainment business, they're like, pass it on, right? And I swear, I can barely get through like a couple pages, because I'm going to be honest with you, I have a big pet peeve, and it is people who call themselves writers and screenwriters, and those little bitches can't write shit. They cannot spell. They know nothing about grammar. And I'm like, are you kidding me? You want to be a writer and you cannot have subject verb agreement. You don't know anything about parallel structure. You got these damn run on sentences. I will not go past the first page. I put a big old red mark on it and I send it back and I say, no, start over. So, but I was reading your, I mean, I started reading yours and I'm like, oh my God, this is really good. You know, you started a path. You started a path. You got to captivate. You got to capture, as with anything, you got to capture people in the very beginning. And I'm the type of person, a lot of people don't do this, but I'm the type of person that likes to read the prologue. And I was just, I was very, 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 very impressed with your prologue. And I thought, well, I am going to continue reading and I will continue to do so. But I mean, it's so beautifully written. And I mean, the punctuation, I am so big on punctuation and grammar. Oh my God. It drives me crazy when people send me emails and they can't write. Oh God, Albert and I flip out. We flip out. And I was just so impressed. I'm like, oh yes, she used that correctly. Oh yeah, that was it. That's because if it's not punctuated properly, people don't realize you lose the whole meaning. You can lose the whole meaning. You can lose a whole sentence can be lost because of that. And this is just so beautifully written. So my question is, after you finished writing this, did you have an editor, a professional editor, go over your work and correct it? Or is this really from you, beginning, middle, and end, with nobody editing this?
Yes, I did have a professional editor go through and edit the book, and I would suggest that with any author. I mean, what may sound good and flow right to you while you're reading and writing it, you know, but your audience is who you want to get the attention to, and so I would suggest a professional editor. You know, like
correct.
I said, it sounded good to me when I read it. You know,
uh-huh.
But when my editor went through, okay, you got to use this verb in place of this. No, and I was like, oh, okay, you're right. I did use the wrong verb, or, you know, this isn't flowing right. Yeah, so I highly suggest that.
Right. Okay. All right. So you're not as perfect as I thought you were. I like that now. Now you're more real to me because I'm like, oh, hell. She is like, this is. So the editor basically did a great job because I have not been irritated once and I'm on like the third page. So I have not found any grammatical errors. We're talking, I got A's in school for English and I'm a stickler for that. So whoever that editor was, man, you got to give them their props. You gotta give them some coin is what you gotta give them. I hope you paid them well because it's very, very, did a very good job so far. So here's my question now. Do you have a literary agent?
No, and I'm looking for one, Priscilla.
I know you
a literary agent?
See, this is why I ask you this question, because you do not need to have a literary agent to self-publish. You can do it on your own, people. A lot of my friends who want to be writers, they say, well, I can't really do anything with my career because I don't have a literary agent. How am I going to publish my book? And I'm like, have you ever heard of self-publishing? So a lot of people think that they cannot become writers, they cannot do a book because they don't have a literary agent. Well, you don't have a literary agent. I know you're at the point now where you definitely need one, but prior to that, you self-published. I want you to tell our audience, one, was it expensive to self-publish? And take us through the steps. How does one self-publish? Give me A, B, C, 1, 2, 3.
Once you get your manuscript completed and edited, you can either go online, look for a publishing company, or you can actually look for a print-on-demand company, which is you'll send your manuscript to them. They'll format it, put it in book print for you. They send it off to Barnes & Noble, Amazon.com, get it on all the main bookstore websites for you, and it's not expensive. That's
now, what are we talking here? I don't need you to tell me exact figure, but between what, 500 and 1,000? Does it cost for editing? And then per book, can you break it down how much?
It's between $500 and $1,100.
Oh, that's not bad at all. Is that contingent with how many books? Do they say you'll from $500 to $1,100, you'll get 500 books published or what?
That's contingent on how many books. That range right there is around like 100 books, between 50 and 100 books.
What's really great, you said they also will they take on the responsibility to put it out on Barnes & Noble and Amazon for you. You don't have to do anything.
No, they do that for you.
Now, what is this illustrious company that does this? Do we have a name for our people, our audience? What do you have a name for me?
It's called Lightning Source.
Would that be
lightningsource.com? You can go right on the website.
Lightning Source. So you contacted them. They said, "Give me some money, honey, and I'll take care of you." And that's what they did.
Yes.
Now, what about this gorgeous graphic on the book Stuck in the Dark 2? Did they come up with that, or did you provide that?
No, I have a young gentleman. He's a photographer and a graphic artist. He came up with the book cover design, and his name is Kennard Lawan. He's the one that did the beautiful book cover for me.
Yeah, that is gorgeous. That's gorgeous. Oh, he provided the model, too. Yeah, she's hot.
Yeah.
And that's really nice. And I really think that was just done very tastefully, too. I love that.
Yeah, he did the last book. That was my first time using him, and I was very pleased with his work.
Well, now does he have a website? We want to give a little recognition to him. Does he have a website?
Kennard, K-E-N-N-A-R-D, last name Lawan, Lajuan.com.
Excellent. All right. I tell you, I'm going to call him if I need any graphic work done. That's just beautiful stuff. Now, what advice would you give to someone who didn't have an agent and wanted to self-publish beside going to Lightning Source? You know, of course, you got to save up your money. You got to, what you've said so far, you got to write your manuscript, get it. So far, you got to write your manuscript. You got to get an editor. You got to save up $500 to $1,100. You got to contact lightningsource.com. You got to contact Kennard to get your graphic done. Only contact Kennard. And then you send it off, and they shoot them off to Barnes & Noble and Amazon.com, which is where your books are. Now, say, for example, they say, okay, it's available on Barnes & Noble at BarnesandNoble.com and Amazon.com, and you've only paid the $500 to $1,100 for the 100 books. Say all of a sudden lightning strikes and you get a massive order for 1,000 books. Does Lightning Source come back to you and say, hey, you need to send us more money because we got a massive order?
No, they wouldn't order it from Lightning Source. If they had a massive order through Barnes & Noble, that would be good for me because Barnes & Noble will actually stock it on their shelves then.
Right, so order it online. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So what I'm saying is since you already paid Lightning Source and that was inclusive in the price for them to send it to Barnes & Noble and Amazon, they've already sent it off. It's all set up. They can buy your book at Barnes & Noble and Amazon.com. And say, for example, Now, you only paid Lightning Source the $500 to $1,100 for the 100 books, right? So what I'm saying is they only made 100 books. So if Amazon gets an order for 1,000 books, who pays for those 1,000 books to be made? Do they come back to you and say, you know, we need you to pay to produce more books? Or does Amazon or Barnes & Noble pick up that price?
Amazon and Barnes & Noble picks up the price. The 100
wow.
books that they send me is my shipment. That comes directly
to me
to market and sell personally.
I see. And then Barnes & Noble and Amazon make their money by taking a percentage when someone orders the book online. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay. Excellent. All right. Now, we name some of your favorite authors. I also hear that you write poetry. Now, do you have anything published? Do you have anything published on the poetry end?
I have two of my poems are actually in my other book, Scandalous. I have two of my poems there. That are listed in Scandalous. If they pick up Scandalous, two of my poems are there. One is titled Black Man, Black Man, which is one of my favorites. I like that poem.
Oh, I think I rented a porno, Black Man, Black Man. Is that where you got it from?
Well, if I read it to you, you would think it was like that.
And what's your other one called?
Mama, can you hear me calling out to you?
Oh, okay. And they're incorporated within this book, Scandalous, which is an actual book about something, and you just incorporate the poems. Okay. All right. So you guys have to pick up Scandalous if you want to read some dirty poetry. All right. Hey, can they also check it out on your website? Do you have the poetry on your website? Some writers put their poetry on their website. Do you have it on there?
No, but that's a good idea, Priscilla. I think I'm going to put Black Man on my website.
Well, yes, you have to.
A sample of my poetry.
Well, you got to put Black Man for next Friday night, from when Albert and I have our date night. I want that up by next Friday so I can put on my lingerie and get all pumped up for it, all right? All right,
yeah,
so
do that.
Yeah, but that's what I see. A lot of times writers put excerpts from their books, which is a really great idea to put excerpts from your book. So maybe something from Scandalous, something from Stuck in the Dark, just as a teaser to get people to kind of know what's going on in the book. Because the title is great, but, you know, like we're doing a radio show, people don't know what the hell's in your book. They don't know you. They need something to titillate them. They need to be titillated. You know, people don't have attention spans these days. So I would definitely put an excerpt from your books on there, and then also your poetry for sure, so they can get an idea of what's going on in your mind. Now, I know that you just had a successful book signing, and tell me how that went, and are you having any more in the near future? And
yes, I am having another one in the near future, which would be March 2010, which my next novel is called Caught Up.
Oh, I did not know about that.
Yes, it's coming soon, March 2010, Caught Up.
Now, I think for your breakout book in 2011, do you know what I think you should call your book in 2011?
What, Priscilla?
Priscilla, Priscilla, Priscilla! Like Tora, Tora, Tora? Or Priscilla Does Dallas? No, I think, oh no, that's Debbie Does Dallas. No, no, wait, scratch that. I want to retract that statement. But I think you need to write a whole book on All That Is Me. So we're going to have to talk about that. We're going to have to because if you're doing a book on Yune, you could definitely do a book on me, and I got really good stories. I mean, we're talking sex in a sandbox. We're talking lots of juicy details here. We're talking dating two Vietnamese brothers at the same time. We got action. We got action. I could tell you stories that would make your hair curl. I have lived the life I think we need to do, Priscilla, Priscilla, Priscilla. Okay, well, we're going to talk about that. Okay, so you got a book.
Oh,
I think think you would do me justice, Gwen Cannon. I think if anybody's going to tell my life story, it's going to be you, because I like the way you think. Anybody who writes black man, I'm telling you, you're sold me already. I got to go out and buy that one. All right, so you got March 2010 for your next book. Is that on the website, GwenCannon.net?
Yes.
Okay, excellent. So you guys can go there, check it out. Woo! I forgot. I wanted to bring this up. I heard some scoops on you. I heard scoops that I'm very excited about, and I'm thinking, oh, God, I'm going to be in Gwen's movie, because I heard that you were thinking of developing your work into stage plays, movies, and miniseries. I'm definitely miniseries material. So tell me about that. What, you got anything going on right now?
I was approached by Ernest Thomas, which you know, Ernie.
Ernest is my little chocolate muffin. Ernest Thomas, I spank him as much as I can. I bend him over and spank him every chance I can get a hold of him. He's now scared of me. He won't come around me anymore. I have to bribe people to get him to show up where I am. Yes, Ernest Thompson, we're talking about Ernest Thomas. He was the star of a show that was on in 75 to 80 called What's Happening, and then Happening Now. He was the star of he's one of the stars on Everybody Hates Chris. He played Mr. Omar. He's been in Malcolm X. He's been in Roots. He's huge. Ernest Thomas is huge in more ways than one, which is why I chase him around all the time. But go ahead. I digress.
Yes, but Ernest Thomas read the second book, Stuck in the Dark. He read that one. He called me on my cell phone so excited. He said he couldn't put it down. His words were, it was hot like popcorn.
Woo!
He was like, Gwen, I could see this in a movie. He said, I was caught up in the book. I could not put it down. It's hot. That's all he kept saying. So he
it's
was
hot.
Like, I guess, yeah. He said he had some friends out there in L.A. He was going to take the book to them. So he put it in the hands of Kevin Carter, who's a producer. He produces stage plays for Summit Entertainment. And Kevin Carter, he got a hold of the book. I sent him a copy. He read the book, and he was very impressed. He said, Gwen, we got to make this happen. I was like, are you serious? So I'm excited because you want to bring one of my books to life on the stage play. And Kevin got even more excited when he saw that I had a part two to Stuck in the Dark, which is Stuck in the Dark 2, the ones you have. So I'm looking forward to that. So, yeah, we've been back and forth on the phone trying to see how we're going to do this. So I'm really excited about that.
Oh, my God. Well, I'm more excited because I'm going to have to be buttering you up to get my ass apart in one of those projects. So you just keep me in your wing. Keep me under your wing. You know what? It's 5:43. We're going to have to end pretty soon. And I want, you know, I got a lot of other questions, but I think I'm going to skip that because I really want you to read an excerpt from your book. So it's 5:43. We got to end at 5:50. So do you think you can read a little bit for me? Give me a 43, 44, 45, 46, 47, 48. Give me 3 minutes. That way we can close the show out. That'll give me a little bit. So we're going to read something from Gwen Cannon's latest book, Stuck in the Dark 2. Take it away, Gwen Cannon. I want emotion. I want emotion. You are now an actress. You're a writer-actress.
I'm going to start with the prologue, which you read.
If I have to interrupt you, I apologize, but that's because we're running over. But go ahead.
Okay, I understand. Nothing could prepare me for what happened next. The escalating sounds of gunshots and screams could be heard throughout the house. I started running in the opposite direction of the gunfire. My only thought was to try to get the hell out of there as fast as possible. But before I could make it to the door, I felt an intense burning sensation. My back felt as if someone had taken a blowtorch to it. I fell face forward on the floor. I lay there with tears streaming down my face. I couldn't move. I felt as if a tongue of bricks were stacked on top of my back. I could hear footsteps coming closer and closer, a woman's footsteps. I could tell by the heels tapping on the floor. I lay there pretending to be dead. as she walked around me saying, "You little bitch." I could hear the sirens in the distance. Someone must have heard the commotion and called the police. "Please, Lord, hurry up and let this bitch go on her way. I don't want to die." It felt like hours, but I knew it had only been seconds, stretching into minutes. My back was soaking wet. I knew it was from my blood. How much was I losing? I didn't have a clue. I started feeling cold. I was losing consciousness. As I lay there on the floor, I thought of all the shit I had tucked away in my closet. Deep, dark secrets no one even knew.
Woo! Now that definitely has caused me to say, I want you to go into reading a little bit on page 54, chapter 11, because we got a couple more minutes. Take me to the back door bar, baby.
54, okay, back door bar. A beautiful black woman stood at the corner of the bar, watching Rock, Jason, Tim, and G. She pointed at the quartet and asked the bartender who each of them was. She knew Rock. They had just been together earlier in the day. She needed to know who the other three gentlemen were. She was putting her plan into place, and she had to make sure she had to put the right individuals in their prospective places if her plan was going to be executed smoothly.
Woo! Take me on! Take me on! Give me another one! Give me another one!
Page 76. I woke up in bed, butt naked and very drowsy. Damn, I can't remember what happened last night. The last thing I remember was me and Alexis laughing and drinking glasses of wine. I recall Alexis telling me that I looked tense. She walked over and started giving me a massage. Alexis was rubbing and massaging my shoulders up and down and around my neck. After that, everything is a blank. What was really puzzling to me was the fact that I was lying in my bed naked and had no recollection of how I got this way. Deep down, I knew what happened, but I didn't want to admit it. The way I felt between my legs, I knew what had transpired in my bedroom. I was sitting there asking myself, how the hell I let this happen? I got up and decided to take a shower to try and clear my head. I wanted so badly to remember what happened last night. After my shower, I went downstairs. There on my living room table were three empty bottles of wine. Damn, I can't remember drinking those bottles of wine. How in the hell did I let this happen? As I started to clean up, I found the note on the table. The minute I started reading it, sweat broke out on my forehead and my hands started shaking. The note slipped out of my hand and dropped to the floor. The last words on the note were all in caps. "I got you on videotape. Now you know how my brother felt. Now look who's stuck in the dark."
Oh, now if that's not enough to get the juices flowing, I don't know what is. Woo, Gwen, you got some hot property there. You got some hot property. I think you do, honey. I think you do. And I think the audience is going to agree. So you got to go to Amazon.com and buy one of her books because you got to read the other juicy stuff that's on the pages. I was looking for some curse words because you said, can I talk some foul language and curse words? I was hoping we'd be saying some penis words. I wanted to hear some penis.
I wanted to hear all that.
I know it's there. I was hoping you were going to read it. But you know what? They're going to have to buy it in order to see all the good shit in there. Now, tell me a little bit. We're at 5:48. We got 2 minutes. You're doing a book on your cousin Yune. What's it all about?
Yune's book is about his life story growing up in the Jeffries Housing Projects, where I'm from, in the ghetto. He was strung out on heroin at 13. He tried to commit suicide, and he's an inspiration to anyone going through any type of addiction that you can survive. Now he's a well-known recording artist out in L.A., and he's been through trials and tribulations, and with prayer and God in his life, he survived. He's a survivor, you know, and he took control of his life. And his story is, it's a wow factor, because writing it, I was just overwhelmed. As like, I'm so excited, you know, that, you know, he chose me to help him with this project. You know, his book, you know, we brought it to life, and I can't wait till his book come out. I'm just excited.
Well, I'm excited too. And if you want to find more out about Gwen show. But, Gwen, thank you so much. And if they want to find out more about your projects, they can go to GwenCannon.net. Or you can check out the gentleman she was just talking about, Yune, at YuneMusic.com. And I want to thank you so much, Gwen. Listen, thank you so much. And, well, that's it for this week. Tune in next week to hear Alexander Cortez. He just came off of a sold-out Tony Award-winning Broadway run with Liza Minnelli, and he was starring as one of her four intricate harmonists, the Williams brother, during the second act of Liza's at the Palace. So we are going to get some scoops on Liza Minnelli next week on Question Reality. Tune in. Thank you. And see ya!
The Horror Channel is your home for the best in horror entertainment, news, culture, lifestyle, and best of all, frights. We are available on Verizon Fios Cable Television. Go to Channel 900, free on demand, and select Pop Culture. Scroll down and you'll find The Horror Channel. So be sure to visit HorrorChannel.com for all of our latest programming.
You're listening to Question Reality.
Question Reality.
With Priscilla Leona.
Priscilla Leona.
Only on LA Talk Radio.